Grace and mercy and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who's the greatest basketball player of all time? Is it Michael Jordan or LeBron James? Who's the greatest NFL player currently playing right now? Patrick Mahomes or Justin Jefferson? Too bad he's out today, but that's all right. Who's the greatest musician on tour right now? Taylor Swift or... Taylor Swift, obviously, so... I mean, how do you make the determination of greatness? It's based on what? Success? Your record? We're obsessed with greatness. We're obsessed with success, power, fame, influence. These are the false idols of our sinful humanity. Now, it's not that success is bad. It's not that influence is inherently evil. But when these are the sole purpose of our striving, especially at the expense of other people, that is a problem. And it's not just an American problem, it's a human sinful problem. But I do have a question. I mean, if you were to look around this room, who's the greatest follower of Jesus in this room right now? Now, I'm not being serious when I ask you that question, okay? I don't want you in your minds comparing yourselves to with one another about your following of Jesus. That's a silly question to ask. But here's the deal. This is the question that the disciples of Jesus are asking Jesus. It is a question that the disciples of Jesus were arguing about and that they even brought to Jesus. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. The disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" The other gospel writers tell us that these disciples were actually arguing about this amongst themselves. The disciples, they believed in the Old Testament promise of a Messiah and a kingdom of heaven that would rule and reign over all authorities in this earth, and that this king would come and would not be like the lousy kings of this earth who mess things up, but a king would come with good rule and order. And so they're looking to Jesus as this king and thinking to themselves, okay, king, in your kingdom, there is structure and there is order, and there are people who serve with you. So, which one of us is the greatest? How does Jesus respond to them? We'll take a look at this video real quick.
The disciples hear Jesus talking about the kingdom of God, and they say, well, in a kingdom, you got people at the top, and you've got people in the middle, and you got people at the bottom. A kingdom has a structure to it. A kingdom has a hierarchy to it, actually. They came to Jesus and asked, who will have the highest honor and recognition in this kingdom you're bringing? When Jesus responds, he gives us the most counterintuitive, upside down, inside out understanding of true human greatness that's ever been enunciated. Whoever humbles himself, whoever takes the lowest position, like this child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The world's understanding of greatness is, I have to struggle, I have to compete, I have to win, I have to achieve my greatness. That creates an insecurity in you. And because of that, it means that you, when you walk into a room, you immediately filter out the people who can't help you come up. You're looking for people who enhance your credibility. Jesus says the mark of true greatness is you don't screen people like that. You welcome them. You're open to them. Jesus says the greatest in the kingdom is the one who's come the lowest. Has come the lowest. Jesus Christ, who was the highest, went the lowest. He's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
So who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus says, the one who looks and acts like a little child. The Greek word here, in the Bible, in the original language, the Greek word for little child means a child who is young, probably somewhere in that age of under 10. And so why a child? Why does Jesus make this comparison? Well, children represent people who are completely reliant, completely dependent. Children represent one who needs attention, who needs to be protected. Children are ones who generally consume resources and don't contribute them. They require constant attention. They are dependent and reliant. And so when Jesus draws that little child from the crowd and says, be like this child, to Jesus' audience, children were without status. There's no way that they could be considered to be the greatest. It would be like you going to a networking event, trying to advance your career. And at this networking event, there are big wigs and hot shots from all the largest and influential corporations that you would love to work for and advance your career. And so in preparation to attend this networking event, you make sure that your shirt is crisp and clean, your hair is done nice, you brush your teeth, and you go ready with a smile. And as you enter into the room for this networking event, you recognize one man who works in a high-up position for the corporation that you would love to work for, and just as you're entering the room, his last conversation ends and he's available. So you take a deep breath, and you approach this man. You walk up to him with confidence. You shake his hand, introduce yourself. And very quickly, the conversation turns to your experience, to your merits, to your successes. And he looks you in the eye and says, would you like to come and work for me? Of course, you stutter. And he says, okay, be like that. As he points to the corner, and in the corner, there's a 5-year-old girl coloring pictures at a table all by herself. And he says, that's my daughter. She's helping me with the hiring process. And he turns and walks away. Now, you have a decision to make. Are you going to continue to rub elbows with the big wigs, shake hands of the influential people, or are you going to go and color pictures with a 5-year-old in the corner? Now, it seems counterintuitive to us, right? How could a 5-year-old help you get a job at a highly influential corporation? It's not that we think that children are insignificant or burdensome. I pray to God that that's not how you view or value children. It just doesn't make sense. How could a child help me gain this sort of job? That's the attitude the disciples had when Jesus draws a young child out of the crowd and says, if you want to be great, be like this. Be like this child. What is Jesus saying to those disciples? He's saying to them, look in the mirror. You are not the greatest. You're not the greatest. At a minimum, you are reliant and dependent on other people. You do not have everything in your power or control on your own. You need attention. You need to be protected. You need other people in your life, especially if you say that you're part of the kingdom of heaven. If you want to be part of the kingdom of God, you are not the greatest in the kingdom of God. You're not. Jesus is. He's the king. He's the greatest, not you. And how does Jesus demonstrate his greatness? In the greatest show of humility that history has ever seen. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The Almighty God, the creator of the universe, who spoke everything into existence out of nothing, stepped into human form. If nothing else, that is God humbling himself. But he went beyond that. What kind of human form did he take on? He took on the form of a servant. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for you. And he didn't just come to wash feet and to reach out to the brokenhearted. Jesus came to die. And not just any sort of ordinary death, but the lowest form of death, death reserved for the worst kind of criminals, an innocent man taking on the worst kind of death, God Almighty to the lowest point of death. God humbled himself in Christ Jesus for you, taking the lowest position for the lowliest of people. Jesus is the epitome of humility, while at the same time demonstrating the epitome of greatness. Now, the Apostle Paul is giving this example of Christ's incredible humility because just prior to this, in the verses preceding, he had said to the church, live in humility with one another. And if you don't know what that looks like, look at Christ. Here are the words preceding what you just read. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. It's a strong word. Count others more significant than yourselves. Another strong word. Don't just look to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Because this is the mind of Christ. Christ gave up everything so you could have everything. His life for yours. He did it all for you, not thinking of himself, but thinking of you. Thinking of you, he did it for you. So let this humble mind of Christ be yours. Let us so humble ourselves that we think of others as more significant than ourselves. I think you understand this part. I think sometimes there's part of this that is even harder for us, though. And it's the reality to be humble enough to let other people also serve you. You know what I mean? I think too many of us have a false sense of humility, which is actually pride. And that we hold ourselves up so high, saying to other people, no, I don't need your help. I've got it all together. I'm here for you. I do not need you. Are you humble enough to actually admit your vulnerability and allow other people to serve you as well? See, it goes both ways, and if the people of God are constantly, always on the lookout for one another, counting others as more significant, you're never going to be without. Humility. It's one of our core values at Saints Peter and Paul. This fall, we've been teaching through these values that we hold dear, that are at the foundation of everything that we do here as a church. And one of our values here is to be humbled daily. In Christ's likeness, we live lives of humility, counting others more important than ourselves. And this is a daily experience as we walk with Jesus. We remember our baptism and intentionally confess our sins and receive forgiveness from Jesus. We want to live like Jesus for one another. We want to put on the mind and the attitude of Christ, just like the Apostle Paul encourages us to do. By no means, we are not concerned with that false question that the disciples asked and that I made you ponder. We're not concerned with who's the greatest follower of Jesus, not in the least, because if that's our concern, then we're only concerned with self. Set that kind of attitude aside. That is not the way that we go about things. How do we practice humility on a daily basis? How do you go about being humble daily? Well, yeah, definitely. Think of other people as more significant than yourself. But I think before even being capable of doing that, it's about getting your status right with God and coming to Him in a humble stature. And a place you can do that is by remembering your baptism. Remembering your baptism. What does baptism have to do with humility? Well, it's in your baptism that God makes you His child. So if you want to be like a child, remember your baptism. It's in your baptism that God clothed you with the righteousness of Christ. It's in your baptism that you were marked as a child of God. It's in your baptism that God united you with Jesus in death and resurrection. It's in your baptism that God gave you the gift of new life. You don't earn any of that. He gives it to you. What a gift. Daily remember your baptism, that you are a child of God. Confess your sins. Receive the forgiveness of Jesus. We have to. That's why we do it on a weekly basis in worship, and I pray you do it on a daily basis in your devotional time, to confess your sins. Because if you can't confess your sins, you're a liar. And you actually make God out to be a liar, because He said, I forgive you of your sins. Confessing our sins, admitting our faults, acknowledging our failure before God and with one another demonstrates our dependence upon Jesus. We come to Jesus and we lay it all at His feet and say, I'm not worthy of your love. I'm not worthy of your grace. I'm not worthy of your forgiveness. And Jesus says, I forgive you anyways. You are my child. I've died for you and risen for you. You are mine. When you're dependent on Jesus, you have no option but to live in humility. We have nothing to prove to God. We can't earn His love. We can't struggle for a status in heaven. Your ultimate and most important relationship, the one with your Creator, is not based on your struggle. It's not based on your hard work. It's not based on your ambition. It's not based on your success. The most important relationship that you have with God is already set. You don't need to impress God. It's impossible. You don't need to win His approval. You're not able. He's already impressed with you. He already approves of you. He showed you this when He died for you and rose for you, when He baptized you in His name. He loves you. So in the same way that He gave up His own interests for you, we do the same for others. You can live life on the lookout for those who are looked down upon. You can live life on the lookout for those who are looked down upon by the world. You can be the most noticeable in the places where you will be, in the places that you most won't be noticed. You can be the most noticeable in the place that most people won't notice you acting. When you go to school, you can notice the kid who sits by herself at lunch. You can go and sit by her and talk to her, get to know her as a human. When you go to work, You can befriend the person that everybody gets annoyed with. Jesus lowered himself lower than you can even imagine, and he did it for you. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This mind, this humble attitude of Christ, may it be yours daily. In Jesus' name, amen.